This is Kat and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000
and the ESPN Chicago app.
All right, start your Friday at 9. Pour a little crown in your coffee. Sit back as Hoodie and I and JD. Try and break down Bears and Falcons.
Bruce.
Anyway, by the way, speaking of Bruce, did you see he released his new video for his new album yesterday?
Oh.
Freaking amazing.
Videos are still a thing, huh? That's good.
They are.
Good to know.
It's amazing. Take that.
Was that on VH1 or MTV last night? I missed it.
So you're unbelievable.
Or was it our Friday Night Videos?
So I come in for our morning powwow this morning, and Danny and JR are trying to come up with a song to put the White Sox, you know, eighth inning meltdown to, and I give them, like, awesome suggestions. Waiting on a Sunny Day by Bruce. Tonight by Smashing Pumpkins. And they're like, no. And then Danny, with the line of the morning, goes, who are you trying to reach? We're trying to reach a younger audience.
No, that was the Bruce, and then you said REO Speedwagon.
Well, you said,
and I looked him in a hoodie. He said it dead serious. He's like, yeah. Well, if not Bruce, how about something by REO Speedwagon?
No, there was Turn the Page.
And Turn the Page is what we use by Metallica.
Right,
that was my suggestion.
I said use Turn the Page from REO, and you go, who are you trying to reach?
But Turn the Page is from Bob Seger, first of all. That's the first mistake.
Correct. Oh. The point was, REO Speedwagon appeals to nobody, even the people in that band.
Oh, my God. All right, whatever.
What's wrong? What's the matter, Cap?
First of all.
Cap, roll with the changes,
yeah,
right?
I meant roll with the changes. Whatever.
Well, if you're
bad at music.
Based on how I felt about the White Sox, I would have been good with Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd.
That's another great one.
That's a great one, Hoodie.
Of course. Hey, Hoodie. Anything you say is great, but let's fire on Cap.
I didn't fire on you. You suggested REO Speedwagon.
Dude, Pink Floyd's from the 60s.
We're trying to appeal to the youth of America.
Oh, yeah,
not
Pink
my great-grandparents with REO Speedwagon.
Yeah, Pink Floyd, that's appealing
Pink Floyd's
to the youth.
Pink Floyd's an all-time classic. Good is good. Come on,
Cap, you smoke weed now?
You're telling me that Bruce Springsteen isn't an all-time classic.
Listen, Bruce is an all-time classic. I'm not going to argue. But you don't open a show with Bruce Springsteen music. It puts you to sleep.
Oh, yeah. Comfortably Numb doesn't. But, wow.
That's
hey,
why
Hoodie,
we use Metallica.
Hey, Hoodie,
let's get to JD.
Hey,
come
Hoodie,
on.
I'll get your peaches for you.
Hey, Hoodie, you need anything else when I go over to the Whole Foods by my house? Cap, go F yourself.
You know what Hoodie and I are doing this weekend?
Yeah,
we're getting together.
I don't even want
we're
gonna to
We're going to FaceTime.
I just threw up in my mouth. Jeff Dickerson is our Bears insider, and he joins us now. JD, rescue me. Save me, please.
I don't know what I like better, the REO Speedwagon or Hoodie's subtle little Bruce's underneath everything. I thought Bruce was a great baseball reporter, not a not a musician
yeah,
or
love
a
Bruce.
Famous artist.
Bruce.
By the way, I'm going to tweet out. I want to tweet out your target demo, Cap, right here in just a second. I found someone I think that you're going to love. I mean, when I think of REO Speedwagon, I think of Billy Madison driving up to the high school in his old Trans Am as a 35-year-old trying to repeat everything in that movie. I mean, that to me is vintage REO Speedwagon. It's okay. You know what, Cap? Not everyone is 20. Not everyone is 30.
Correct.
Not everyone is 40. Not everyone is 50. We have to appeal. We have to skew older sometimes on ESPN 1000, and I'm glad you're here to accomplish that for us. Thank you.
I'll take the backhanded compliment. Okay.
Welcome to Chicago,
Bruce.
Go ahead, Cap. Ask the question.
Thank you. Wow.
That's a fine.
You're making me laugh. I can't
JD,
breathe.
Let's get your thoughts now about the Bears, because as we take a look at the Bears, their matchup against Atlanta, you know, it's one thing we know for sure, Atlanta can put up a ton of points. But the question is, do the Bears have enough firepower to come back if they're behind against this Falcons team?
I mean, maybe this Falcons team. Did you guys see their injury situation in
yes,
Atlanta?
It's awful.
It's really bad. I mean, Julio Jones has not practiced all week. With a hamstring injury, they got like four or five guys, actually six or seven guys missing practice yesterday. You know, sometimes in the course of a season, you catch some breaks. And I think the Bears have caught some breaks the first 2 weeks playing the teams that they've played. You know, they're lucky enough to face a team in Detroit that's really dysfunctional, and they're able to come back because Mitch has a great fourth quarter, and they win week one. And then they don't play really great in the second half last week, but because it's the Giants, they did come back and score 13 points. But the Giants don't have much, you know, to speak of as far as weapons and ability to put points on the board. And I've got all these injuries in Atlanta. So, you know, we have to put our picks in on Wednesday. I think people know that by now. Like, ESPN.com, we work like 3 days ahead for some reason. So I did pick the Bears to lose by 1 point this weekend. But if Julio Jones doesn't play and some of these other key guys are out or limited, that's going to be really difficult. But to answer your question, Jonathan, I wouldn't feel great about the Bears coming back from a big deficit this weekend, because I still think with Matt Ryan and the Atlanta offense, they could counter you and score points. You know, when the Bears came back in Detroit, the Lions, after that last touchdown, got paralyzed, and they couldn't do anything against the Bears' defense. The Giants, just without Saquon Barkley and Sterling Shepard, it's amazing, quite frankly, they scored 13 points after halftime. But this weekend's a little different. Yeah, the Falcons collapsed last week against Dallas. That was an all-timer. But they still scored 39 points, and they could still score the football. So I don't think it would be in the Bears' best interest to fall behind. But I do think if you look at those two reports that came out yesterday as far as injuries go, the Bears are so healthy, except for the John Jenkins going to IR thing. And Atlanta has got a lot of serious question marks. I'm telling you, if Julio Jones doesn't go, that could be a game changer for everybody.
So if I want your honest, deep answer on this. If I said to you the Chicago Bears beat the Atlanta Falcons 41-39, Matt Ryan threw for 4 touchdowns, 447 yards, but Mitch had a really good game, and the Bears found a way to win 41-39, would your storyline be, wow, the offense is amazing, or would your storyline be, well, I'm really concerned about this alleged elite defense? How would you spin that? Because I would rather win the game like 20-17, to be honest.
Yeah, but I mean, if they get to 3-0, they get to 3-0. And I think the beautiful thing is you can mention both in your post-game stories, our rapid reactions. You can mention everything. But, you know, Cap, I would be impressed if they scored 41 points because we haven't seen the Bears to score 41 points. You got to put together a complete game, right? Isn't that fair to say? Like, sure. We haven't seen the Bears do that yet on offense. So if Trubisky goes out there and just balls out and they score 41, I think that's really impressive. I do think at some point the defense is going to steady itself. Now, they spoke all week about how the defense was really good last week against the Giants. Again, guys, I mean, if we're talking about it, if you're trying to tell me that this is a top five, top two defense, okay, you don't let the Giants drive 95 yards on 11 plays. You don't let them, you know, have the ball on the, whatever it was, 8-yard line, on, you know, the last play of the game. So they made some better plays defensively. There was a better pass rush. You saw Robert Quinn. You saw Khalil Mack. You know, Eddie Jackson could have had that pick six. Deion Bush had a pick. But still, that's not as good as that defense is capable of playing. I think at some point, talent usually rises up if they're healthy. So I'm not super concerned about the defense long term. But, Cap, if you could tell me that the offense goes out there and plays well enough to put 41 on the board and they still win, I would actually look at that like, wow, there's a game they absolutely should have lost, but yet they found a way to win, and they're 3-0. So I would take a little bit more of an encouraging stance. If you get to 3-0, and all these injuries, Cap and Jonathan, around the NFL right now are wreaking havoc on everybody else, you're in a really good spot. So I would not take the negative slant on that whatsoever.
JD, as we take a look at the tight end position, you know, Jimmy Graham with just the one reception good for 18 yards, and Kmet also got into the mix. Do you feel like Trubisky will try to distribute the football more to the tight ends or try to get Miller going, because he had 3 targets and did not scratch in the game against the Giants?
Yeah, Miller, his play time went way down. If you looked at how the snaps were distributed last weekend, you had Allen Robinson, then you had Darnell Mooney, then you had Javon Wims, and you had all the way down, Jonathan, to find Anthony Miller. I think him getting back on track after a good week one and a really subpar week two is very important. I mean, Matt Nagy was up front and is like, hey, look, this guy is, you know, he dropped a touchdown pass in the end zone, number one. I'm talking about Anthony Miller. Number two, he messed up a route when Trubisky threw an intercept incompletion earlier in the game because he broke off his route too soon. So I think getting him back right mentally is very important this week. And the tight ends, you know, it's one of those things you just can't figure out. I mean, you watch training camp, although it was limited this year, and there was no group that looked better than these tight ends. I know people wrote that and people said that, and Bears fans after 2 weeks are like, you guys are all full of it. I'm telling you, no one looked better than those tight ends in training camp, and no one was used more than those tight ends in training camp, and it just hasn't happened in the first 2 weeks. So my assumption is Matt Nagy will try to get those guys going more, but I don't, you know, we'll say. I think Allen Robinson definitely has some motivation, guys, for this Sunday. You know, he was, I don't want to say a little surly, but he was not very outgoing himself this week. I think the contract stuff is annoying him. I think he's kind of getting frustrated. And he had some concentration lapses in the game against the Giants, too. So I know he's especially motivated. I still think, even though they're 2-0, guys, offensively they feel like they have a lot to prove, and maybe that materializes this Sunday.
Do they continually stay committed to the run game? Because last week, J.D., yes, they ran the ball a lot in the offensive line. Olin Krutz was like a beaming new father sitting there at TV going, look at Cody Whitehair blowing people off the ball. Keep running it. And then it's 10 yards, it's 11 yards, and then it's Cordero Patterson on some ridiculous gadget right. play. And then it's 3rd and 1, let's pass, and 4th and 1, let's pass, and they get lucky that Bobby Massey catches it. Can Matt stay wedded to the run game?
Yeah, I think the Montgomery neck injury, guys, also screwed things up last week, too. If you notice, when he came out, they really got bottled up running the football. I still think that, look, Matt Nagy is going to want to incorporate some different things. You're going to see some Cordarrelle Patterson. You're going to see some Tariq Cohn. But, yeah, I think that he is going to be more focused. If the game is going as they want it to go, I think he will stay committed to running the football. I mean, he has the first 2 weeks. But, like, what you're asking, Cap, I think is very valid. Like, I think everyone would like to see the Montgomery have more like 22, 23 carries as opposed to 12 to 16 carries. But I do think that his neck injury and missing a little bit of time on Sunday did disrupt his rhythm. So I think that needs to also be taken into account, that I think the number of carries from Montgomery would have been closer to 20, 22, if not for a little bit of absence with the neck and then kind of working himself back in gingerly when he got his helmet back and was cleared to play.
So for your prediction for the game, Jeff, does it change today versus how you had it before the season started? Do you look at the team differently now?
Well, you know me, man. I ride it out. I don't like that. No. I'm going to stay with it. I think it's a good start. And I think what's really encouraging, again, you never say that an injury is encouraging, but what's encouraging is they're healthy and a lot of other teams are not. You know, last year the Bears weren't healthy and they disappointed. 2 years ago, they were incredibly healthy and they went 12-4. Now, I don't change my prediction. It is what it is. It's written down there on ESPN.com. But I'll tell you what, they get this game on Sunday and they get to 3-0, guys. Now I think you start to take them a little more seriously. I don't think I can tell you for a fact, nationally, no one's taking them seriously because they don't believe in them. They don't believe in the quarterback. They believe it's been a soft 2 wins. But if you get to 3-0 no matter what, with the injury landscape around the league, I think the Bears are going to be in really good shape if they can make that happen on Sunday.
Hey, man, appreciate your time. Have a great rest of your day.
See, there's REO Speedwagon, Cap.
Yeah, I'm done talking music with these guys.
What do you mean you're done talking music? Don't worry. Don't let these guys shame you into not enjoying REO Speedwagon or
Hoodie,
Night Ranger.
Hoodie, I love Pink Floyd. Freaking song came out in 1979. Mine came out in 78. No freaking difference.
The year doesn't matter, Cap. Good is good. Yeah. Good is timeless. REO Speedwagon, not that.
Yeah.
Cap alone. You know what? The guy wants to do his walk and listen to Kenny Loggins on his, you know, on his phone. Leave him alone.
Exactly.
You're not walking 29 miles, champ. He is.
Dick.
Hoodie, do you like REO Speedwagon?
I don't know who that is.
Enjoy a champagne Urbana, kid. Get with the program.
See? Nothing wrong with little REO. You know, fun fact about REO Speedwagon quickly here. Remember, you know, Tommy Lee, the drummer for Motley Crue?
Yeah.
He met Heather Locklear backstage at an REO Speedwagon concert, and they soon got married afterward. How about that? So not all losers like REO Speedwagon, Capman, if Tommy Lee was going to their concert.
You know what else, JD, about Tommy Lee? That guy's one hell of a captain of a boat.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. You can go there.
JD, what is...
We're going to stay here.
What does okay? REO stand
Floyd
for?
Island. REO Speedwagon?
Yep. Not Rapid Eye Opening.
No. What is it?
Ransom Eli Olds. He was the founder of the band. Take that.
All right, it's been taken.
Have
See,
a great,
there you go.
Have a great
I
day.
I don't hear anything right now.
Yeah. See you, JD. All right, what do we need to see from the beloved on Sunday? Hoodie, have your five things.
Yeah, boy, when I hear this, I feel like I'm on hold at the dentist office.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. You and Danny, you can have your little whatever it is. And
what is that?
Yeah, Hoodie, whatever you need. Hoodie. Oh, hey, Hoodie, here's your white peaches. Hey, Hoodie, you need me to pick anything else up at the grocery? Hey, Cap, stick it. Take a time out. I'll be right back.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at CapJHood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
By the way, Hoodie, did you realize the Cubs and White Sox play today?
I don't care. No, seriously, I don't care. You know, I usually you and I would have a lot of juice, a lot of skin in the game here, going back and forth about the Cubs and Sox, but I'm so focused on just somebody get a victory. If it's the Cubs, fine. If it's the Sox, I just need to just fast forward me to the playoffs and just see what happens. I'm so frustrated. Bad, sleepy baseball on the north side and just dumb baseball from the manager and the players on the south side. It's just not a great way to wrap up this pandemic-riddled regular season.
All right. Well, we'll rock and roll and see if we can have some fun with baseball this weekend. We can get a win for the Bears over the Falcons. There's some college football, NBA. Danny just gave out a play on the air, said play the Heat to win the series at 6, which would give Boston a victory tonight. So, be cool. That's a good little bet there. 100 to win 260. All of a sudden, you got $360 sitting in front of you from your 100. That's pretty good.
Are you jazzed for the Cubs and Sox as much as – I don't think – you haven't really been bopping around the studio happy about Cubs and Sox only because of your angst of the Cubs.
I am jazzed because I'm a baseball guy. I just love that sport. My late father – put that love into my brother and I, and even turned my mom into a baseball fan. And so I'm excited for it, but I'm really fired up for the Bears 2-0. I got to see them find a way to get to 3-0.
To me, that's the storyline of the weekend, to see how the Bears fare against a high-octane offense like the Atlanta Falcons. By the way, I have not seen the total in that game just as of yet, Bears and Falcons. But I don't expect like that shootout that we just saw with Dallas and Atlanta. I don't expect that.
I don't think our offensive philosophy will allow that, let alone I don't think Mitch is putting up a 40-39 victory. But I do think that they can control the football with the run game. He has to have – in fact, let's get to our five things and get the callers' thoughts. And we've got some REO calls, and our guy Peter in Miami's got a bad music call. take that, Peter. My first thing of the five, number one, Mitchell Trubisky has to have a check down to throw it away mentality. If the guy's open, hit him. If he's not, don't turn the ball over. If you do, you're going to lose.
Don't stop. Keep going. You say this all the time when you're a coaching staff, right? You just continue to play until the final whistle. But with this Atlanta team, for sure, don't stop. Keep going. There's a ball club in Atlanta that was up 29-10 at the half and lost 40-39. So you just keep going. NBA mentality. Just because you're down 20, the threes will get you back in the game. Same thing with the Bears. No matter if they're down this game, don't stop because the defense is going to give it up for the Falcons at some point.
So number one, as I gave you, was that. Number two for me, dominant O-line play. If the O-line plays well again and it allows them to grind out drives, Mitch uses his feet to extend some plays, they have a great chance to win.
Test the Falcons' special teams. I don't mind a trick play against the not-so-smart special teams. You saw that Q shot by, that billiard shot by Zuerlein, right? That kick?
Yep.
How do the Falcons not pounce on that? Clearly, they're not very good at special teams based on that play. I don't mind Nagy pulling out a trick play if he needs to test that questionable special teams for the Falcons.
Okay, how about pressure on Matt Ryan, which means Robert Quinn has to be on the field for more than 20-some plays. Get him opportunities to use that, as J.D. called it, that chop move where he uses one hand to chop the other offensive lineman out of the way, and then he gets to the quarterback with great bend and is able to – he doesn't just worry about knocking you down or putting you on your back. He wants the football loose. That has to happen.
Make sure that you stop the run. You know that Ryan's arm can beat you, but you got to shut down something offensively for the Falcons. Stop the run. Make it non-existent. Todd Gurley is not the same Todd Gurley I saw at Georgia. He only had 61 yards in the last game against the Cowboys. But establish that you stop the run. Try to get to the quarterback if you can.
Also, it is imperative that they commit to the run and they stay with the run. And if the first play of the game is a loss of one, hand it off again. I want, excuse me, what Bill Belichick did.
That's a fine.
Thank you. I want what Bill Belichick did. Tom Brady said that there was a day where Belichick said, okay, I'm tired of this. We're not committed to the run. You can't throw the ball, period. And you're Tom Brady. Until we run for a first down. He said 14 plays later, we finally got a first down, and then we opened everything up. I want that type of mentality.
Establish the tight ends. You know, only two catches for the tight ends. Listen, they're there for a reason, not just to block, but also they can get upfield. So if it's not Komet, definitely Jimmy Graham. Graham's got something to prove. Everyone's against Jimmy Graham when he came to the Bears. What does he have left from the Packers? Show it coming up on Sunday.
All right, 312-332-3776. Let's go to the phones. Danny, where do you want me to go, man? I got a smorgasbord.
Well, we're talking Bears, so let's go to our guy George in London. He's got a key to the game.
All right, let's go to George. Hey, George, what's up, man?
Firstly, good morning, David. You made me laugh earlier with your analogy about Jay Hood's speaking Chinese. And ni hao, Jay Hood.
Good afternoon, George.
Good afternoon. Key to the game for me is like you say, Dave, you've already hit the nail on the head there. On offense, we need to run the ball because they're not particularly great up front. Pat McKinley looking like he's going to be out. Their defensive secondary isn't as good as the rest of their defense. That's the weak link. We need to set up the run early and keep it going, and stay committed to the between the tackles type running because that seems to be getting us the most yardage. But on defense is where I'm mostly concerned because our zone defense so far this season hasn't been great. It seems far too often when we're having players leaving the zone, so three people out on routes, seven people in coverage, the zone defender is doing nothing when the player leaves their zone. So they're neither carrying the offensive player as I would expect, or rushing the quarterback. You can't have that with Matt Ryan, who will pick us apart if we just sit deep in zones. We need to make sure we don't give sort of the easy underpasses. So Hayden Hurst on check releases, Todd Gurley out of the backfield, coming late out of the backfield. Too many times we've done that. I'd like to see zone deep 1, 2, or 3. So cover 1, 2, or 3, and I'd like to see man under. I'm quite happy having Roquan Smith and Todd Gurley out of the backfield and having Deion Bush against their tight end, Hayden Hurst. Danny Trevathan, limit his snaps. Deion Bush in the game as the extra linebacker in those sorts of downs.
Hey, one question. Are we the number one afternoon show in London?
I wouldn't know about that. I mean, there's far too many people that like awful music, not Chicago Bears football.
Hey, man, you're the best. Have a great day, okay? I know we're number one with you in the afternoon.
Absolutely. One in my heart and one on my radio station.
You're the best. Have a great day, George.
Love you, guys. Bear down, everyone.
All right, bear down. See ya.
Bear down.
Bear down. Take that. 312-332-3776. More of your calls. Plus, what is Billy Donovan's role in free agency? You'll hear all that next.
Take that. Take that.
Itching your morning sports fix. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Hoodie and I talked to Billy Donovan at 8 o'clock, and it was a lot of fun, man. He gave us a lot of time. Really excited to talk to him, and I think Hoodie and I are both in the same place, that we're very excited that he is now our head coach. And we got a whole bunch of calls, but Hoodie, we wanted to play this. We were talking at the break, Hoodie, and I wanted to play this. This is Billy Donovan on having to recruit.
Well, the one thing in talking to Arturis and Mark, and I really appreciate, because we had a conversation about both things, and I think it's very, very hard in today's day and age in the NBA for a head coach to really, really understand or know the college game. There's so many games in the NBA. You're focusing on your team, and the season ends. You may have a little bit of time to watch some film and talk and try to, you know, gather your thoughts or opinions on a player through film. But generally, you have scouting staffs that are basically going around the country, overseas, watching, gathering information on players. I think they're a lot more equipped than I would be as a head coach in terms of the draft, of understanding the draft. Now, Arturis, when I spoke to him and Mark, the one thing I really appreciated was, you know, they wanted me involved in that process. You know, what does the team look like? What does our team need? You know, what kind of not only player but personality would best fit, you know, with this group? So I think that was, you know, something that I would really love to be able to help and to do. But ultimately, Arturis and Mark Eversley are going to be the ones that, you know, are really doing a lot of the legwork and the groundwork for a long period of time. And, you know, I think they'll bring me into that process. I think the free agency part, and they asked me this specifically, you know, how willing would I be to get on planes or to try to help and, you know, be involved and be active. And I really would love to do that. I want to help the organization any way I can. So however I can be utilized to help win free agency, I would definitely be more than willing to do that. I think trade deadline situations that, you know, they want my opinion because, you know, when you're in the NBA, you're seeing these guys on a more consistent basis than you are college guys. So, you know, they're the ones that are doing all the homework and the background work. But I think that in my discussions with Mark and with Arturis, it was more like, hey, listen, we need some help here. We need to partner with you. We want to, you know, hear what you have to say. We'd like to watch film with you. We want to talk about players. And I really appreciated that. You know, that part of it was really, really great, and look forward to trying to help those guys in any way I can.
So interesting stuff, and that's what we wanted to hear. Would you get on a plane? Would you go recruit, use your contacts? And Hoodie, he answered that beautifully.
I love how he answered that because he wants to be part of the process.
Yep.
Again, some GMs and some presidents of basketball operations don't want the head coach to be involved in there, but you got to see Billy Donovan for what he is. He's a lightning rod on the college level, on the pro level. People know who Billy Donovan is and well-respected. And we talked about it in the conversation. You can go back into the Cap and Jay Hood podcast archives and catch the interviews in its entirety and subscribe to the podcast. But Cap, you know, the thing that you know is that people in the NBA community really love Billy Donovan. We saw on social media when you have some of his former players like Joakim Noah and Bradley Beal saying, I'm really excited for Coach to have this opportunity in Chicago. That carries a lot of weight. It says a lot.
All right, here's more from our interview with Billy, and then we'll get to these calls because we got a bunch of them. Here's Billy Donovan.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the interesting part right now. I mean, Arturis and I did not at all get into anything specific about specific players or what the plan is. I think Arturis now being there for a few months, I think the fact that, you know, I was a little bit disappointed that I couldn't be in Chicago inside the bubble with the group. It's just, you know, with the pandemic and having a quarantine, and by the time I got in there, they'd probably be finishing up. So that part is hard. I think Arturis is probably in the gym evaluating and watching guys play, and I think he's a player's kind of a guy that, you know, has wants to get to know the guys, spend time with the guys. I've got to certainly start, you know, here very soon, start to get on the phone with guys just to touch base with them. But I think there'll be some kind of plan, and I'm sure Arturis has worked at that, but we have not really sat down and discussed, here's what we're looking to do with the team at this point in time, and here are the moves or things we're looking to do. We haven't gotten into any of that. I think that's probably a little bit too early, but I would say this, that, you know, Arturis and Mark are going to work extremely hard to continue to build out the team and continually to try to make it more and more competitive. And hopefully myself as a coach and the staff, you know, we will help, you know, the guys that are in the organization get better and improve and, you know, hopefully more importantly, stay healthy because they've had so many injuries over the last couple of years. But, you know, that will be a big part of it there. But I look forward to those conversations going forward.
So there was Billy Donovan on our show. He gave us, got almost 30 minutes and really enjoyed, as did Hoodie, talking to him. Here's Rich in Rockford. Hey, Rich, welcome to the show.
Good morning, man.
Good morning.
Hey,
morning.
Cap, real quick, I've been listening to you forever, and I've never called you before. I've been listening to you since your flagpole days and STL and Waddle and Terrio, and I thought this would be a fun time to call with the Donovan hire.
Appreciate you.
I was like you. Well, I was like you. When I saw he was out there, I thought, please, Bulls, go out and get him, and I never believed it would ever happen. But, boy, it should really be fun to follow. It's just, it's really exciting.
And it feels like, and appreciate all your support through the years, Rich, and have a great day and stay safe and healthy out there, okay, kid?
All right, and you too. I'll keep listening.
Appreciate you. Hoodie, when you put it perfectly the other day. We shopped at the top shelf, correct?
Yeah. It's about time you get at the top shelf. The Bulls have been the bottom shelf and in the middle of the shelf for a long time. It's time for something that's the best. And again, this is no shot at Fred Hoiberg initially or Tom Thibodeau or Jim Boylan. But the point is, though, is that how often in Chicago sports have you and I said, hey, there's a free agent, go get him. Hey, there's a head coach that's really at the top of his game, we got to go get him. And our Chicago teams kind of settle for less or they learn on the job here. If indeed Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago are the three biggest markets to be able to flourish as an NBA coach, why wouldn't you want to get the best? Why settle for less? That's why the Donovan hire really means a lot to me.
All right, let's go to the phones, and let's see. Jack is up in Michigan listening on the app. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Cap, how you doing today?
What's up? Say hi to Hoodie.
Couple of things. Hi, Jay Hood. Before I get to the REO Speedwagon discussion, I just want to comment that we hopefully will reflect for a while about the passing of Gale Sayers. And just in this year, having lost, as for my boyhood, two icons in Jerry Sloan and Gale Sayers, how fortunate we are as Chicago sports fans to have not just great athletes, but amazing people come and pass through our lives. Two just outstanding athletes, outstanding gentlemen, and a couple of men that everybody can point to as role models. Also, I think your music discussion was spot on today. For those of us that are fans of Cubs and Sox, a little concerned about what the next week may bring. Hopefully not too early of an exit, and not for us Cub fans, a revisit of the 07-08 era. We're going to hope for the best on that. But then getting around to your REO discussion, as someone who grew up in the area and went to Champaign, who would have thought 50 years ago that we'd be still talking about these groups and listening to their music 50 years later? Buckingham, Chicago, Crying Shames, Ides of March, and REO Speedwagon belongs right there amongst them. And so I'm with you. And it's our duty to help the younger generations understand and appreciate just what the rock and roll scene was like back 50 years ago.
Jack, thanks, man. Take that, Danny.
Jack sounds like a lovely man, and he is exactly who REO Speedwagon appeals to.
Right up to the bridge. Very good, Danny.
Wow.
I don't want to hit a post.
Wow.
He hit the post nicely. And by the way, you know, I'm all for what he said about Ides of March. I'm all for vehicle.
Yeah, Ides of March, Jim Peterick.
Yeah, I remember. I learned that from WGN Bears pre- and post-game shows. It's now time for Chicago Bears football on WGN. This is Chuck Swirsky. We go to Soldier Field. Here's Hub Harkish. Like, yeah, that's where I learned about vehicle, listening to Swirsky.
Yep, Jim Peterick, who's a great dude and a listener to the station. He called in one day on the show. Phil is in Frankfurt. Hey, Phil, you're on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap Hoodie, what's up? I have to call you to task, Cap. I almost spit out my coffee when you said REO was the founder of the band. Actually, REO was Ransom the Olds was the inventor of the Oldsmobile Automotive Company. I don't know, man. When you exaggerate, you do it with confidence and clarity, and you you laugh, right? You make a lot of people laugh. But I had to call you out because I'm an old guy. My dad was an old guy. And Hoodie, you're a car guy, man. How many whips, 442s, and Hurst Owls you see rolling around on the low end, man? They're everywhere.
Oh, Compass, my God.
Delta, 98. I mean, they're everywhere.
It really is. And during this pandemic, I don't know, is maybe more people are at home. Usually you see these whips out there on a Saturday or Sunday. You know, you just drive your muscle car. I'm seeing it a lot more often now than I have in a long time. People are getting their stuff out there during the day, Monday through Friday. Usually that's a weekend thing. I'm seeing a lot more muscle cars in the streets lately.
And by the way, Phil is right. Ransom Eli Olds is who the band is named after. He was the founder of Oldsmobile.
Take that.
Take that, Cap. Idiot. Phil, you're the man. Appreciate you.
Wait a minute.
I called myself an idiot. I was an idiot, okay?
Nah, it's just a thing.
You're mad at me constantly for always agreeing with Hoodie. Now I agree with you.
Thank
you.
Oh, jeez.
All right, Carm DeFalco. Bom, 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 bom. With the best trends of the gambling weekend. Next. Take that.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Heard it from a friend who. Heard it from a friend who. Heard it from another you've been messing around. They say you got a boyfriend.
So good. So good.
You're a big REO Speedwagon fan?
Yes.
Yeah?
Saw them at the Rockford Speedway. Yes, I'm a big fan.
No kidding.
Yeah, Head East, Ian Hunter, the Cars, and
the Cars. Yeah, baby.
So good. So good. Roll with the changes.
What about the Police? I like the Police.
Seeing them at Wrigley.
Oh, you should be thrown out of the studio for mentioning the Police in the same sentence as
the Police are a lot better.
Sting is like on Mount Rushmore.
He's on a different planet from the rest of these jamokes. But
I appreciate the diverse conversation that you guys are having.
It's very diverse.
Buddy, how about the Four Tops?
I like the Four Tops, too. How about the Platters? How about the Temptations? How about Diana Ross and the Supremes?
Spinners.
Nicholas Bregenzer on Twitter. I'm 35. The music you guys played today has been great, especially REO Speedwagon. Take that.
Was Steve Winwood in Cars, or was that Traffic?
No,
Steve Winwood was in Traffic.
You got Cars, the Police, Traffic. Well, my God.
What was the highest, the biggest name song from Traffic?
Valerie.
That would be the Low Spark of High Heel Boys.
Oh, okay.
Cap,
was Valerie
you're
one of his...
You're earning your marijuana today, my friend.
Oh, my God.
Valerie might have been one of his singles, or one of his solos.
Yeah,
right?
Solo album.
Yeah.
Hey, Hoodie, what was the promo code for CBDMD again?
It's every day. It gets more and more jumbled and
jumbled.
It's like that'd be wild.
I think today.
They heard me the first time. I don't know why you keep clarifying. People heard what I said.
I don't know either.
It gets more like
people heard what I said.
So great.
People heard what I said.
Oh, God.
So great.
You throw it to me for the promo code. I tell everybody the promo code for that is.
Good Lord. That's the best.
Sylvie's sitting in his mansion up in the suburbs going, I'll go stick it.
He knows that's funny, too.
Anyway.
He knows.
It's over the top.
We got SEC football this weekend, guys.
Carmen DeFalco.
Bop, 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 bop. Carm, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. Hoodie's Dogs are laying 4 touchdowns on the road in the SEC. That's how bad Arkansas is. You want to know when the last... And by the way, the new head coach for Arkansas was one of Kirby Smart's former assistant coaches. Mm-hmm. You want to know when the last time Arkansas won a SEC game was, boys?
When?
October of 2017. Good luck to you.
They haven't won one.
Poor Dan Hampton. Arkansas has lost 19 consecutive SEC
games.
What did
Brett Bielema, who's not a good guy, what did he do?
He decimated him and left. They're on another head coach, and Hoodie's Dogs are... I don't care who the quarterback is, Hoodie. They're going to run all over Arkansas. I don't know if they'll cover 4 touchdowns on the road, but the Dogs are going to sick them this weekend.
I can't stand Brett Bielema. He made the list. As you look at Bears, Falcons.
All right, Bears, Falcons. Well, I'll tell you guys, I told you last week, don't play the Bears as a favorite, right? Going back to 2015.
Make a freaking kick.
Well, listen, I'm just telling you. The Bears, since 2015, after last week, are now 12-19 against the spread as a favorite. But They are better in a spot like this where they're getting 3, 3.5. Under Matt Nagy, specifically 6-5 against the spread since 2018 when they're taking points. I think there's a lot on the line for the Atlanta Falcons, and you're probably going to get, I would guess, an outstanding effort for them. But if you like betting the Bears, if you feel compelled, again, don't ever lay points with the Bears. But if you want to take them this weekend, I don't think it's crazy. I would say that. Not one I'll be playing, but I don't think it's crazy to take the Bears and the points this weekend.
Carm, I'm on the fence about Tennessee against Minnesota.
Oh, baby. I don't know. You said it, Hoodie.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a stay away from me or should I dive in.
Well,
what's your philosophy on Tennessee and Minnesota?
I am glad you asked because it's a game I circle to talk about with you guys. You know, the Vikings are one of only two teams that's getting points at home this weekend. Look, the Vikings have been terrible.
And the other one's the Giants, right?
No, the other one is, I'm sorry, three teams. You're right. The Giants are the Broncos, the Giants, and the Vikings. Three teams getting points at home this weekend. The Vikings have been terrible, let's face it, in the first couple of weeks. Absolutely terrible. And their defense has been wrecked by, the departures in free agency and injuries. No Danielle Hunter, and now Anthony Barr is out. But... in this spot, I will roll with Mike Zimmer. The Vikings are 6-3 as a dog at home under Mike Zimmer. 6-3 against the number.
Pretty good.
At home when taking points under Mike Zimmer. This is a good spot for them this weekend, Hoodie. I think you're right. If you're on the fence, I would lean towards the Minnesota Vikings at home against the Titans to get right. They know they need a win. They lost that first game inside the division to the Green Bay Packers. Packers out and rolling so far, so I think they know they need a win and they got to get off the schneid, and I think it'll happen this week.
How about this stat for you guys? Ryan Fitzpatrick last night became the second player since at least 1948 to have two or more passing TDs, one or more rushing TDs, 20-plus rushing yards, and a reception in a single game. It's only happened one other time. Can you tell me who it was?
Jeez, a reception in there. That makes it hard.
Cap Martindale here.
Right, I know. So, rushing touchdown.
Two or more passing TDs, one or more rushing TDs, touchdown. 20 or more rushing yards, and a reception in a single game.
I'm going to say Michael Vick.
The correct answer would be Walter Payton. Week 3, 1983, and he, by the way, happened to also run for 161 in
that game. That is a great question.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes, it is. I love that. Sweetness.
Bears.
All right. How about another question? That's why Carm's here. How about Green Bay and New Orleans? The hyperbole out there, Carm, is about how the Packers are really getting it done offensively, where it seems like that Rodgers is reborn, knowing that his replacement is on the sidelines. You're going to try to keep him there. But then the scuttlebutt about New Orleans, right?
Good.
About how the Saints did not look good against the Raiders. So how do you play this one with New Orleans and Green Bay?
Good trends here for the underdog too, Hoodie, actually. The Packers, by the way, through the first 2 weeks, it's been incredible. They're just the fourth team in NFL history to score more than 80 points and gain more than 1,000 yards in the first 2 weeks of a season. Again, only the fourth team in history. I think Rodgers is on a mission, and I'll give you another underdog play in this game. When the Packers are a dog, the last five times they have covered in four of them. The Packers are 12-6 against the number overall in their last 18 regular season games. And again, they've covered four of their last five. That's 80%. See how I did that math real quick in my head, guys?
Yeah.
That's 80%. They've covered four of their last five as an underdog.
Very impressive math.
Yeah, very impressive. And so the Packers, I think, Hoodie, you're right. If you circled the Packers getting those 3 points this weekend, I think you might be onto something, my friend.
Anything else in college that tickles your fancy?
Miami, a little. Not a best play, but a very strong lean. The only thing that worries me is I wonder if they're reading the headlines. Like, Miami's back. FSU was a disaster after their opening touchdown drive in their opener a couple of weeks ago and got stunned as a touchdown favorite at home. They lost outright to Georgia Tech. That was a bad loss. Now Mike Norvell, their new head coach, has COVID, and he will not be with the team this weekend. The only thing that worries me a little is that this is the best defense Miami's going to face so far in the first couple of weeks. Derek King's look great, but this is the best defense he's going to face, including a very stout defensive line. And if they've been reading the headlines, this could be a little bit of a trap, but I lean towards Miami this weekend laying the